Can we go ahead and give God some praise in this place for what we've already seen, how God continues to transform lives? Such a beautiful, beautiful testimony of those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ, and by witnessing it through believers' baptism, it's always exciting to see because it reminds us that God is still at work. Thank you so much for allowing me to come and hang with you, Nart Klein. Good to be with you in this summer series that we're calling Promise Keeper, because a promise is only good as the one who makes it. And our God is a promise keeper, and he always keeps his promises. In fact, this promise we're going to look at is coming from the prophecy of Isaiah. So if you don't mind, turn in your copy of God's Word to Isaiah, particularly Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40, there's a message for the people of God. As people of God then, as well as today, the Lord wants us to know of his character and his ability to keep his promises. In fact, it begins with a question. If you're following with me, in that 28th verse, it begins this way. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint. And to him who have no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But here's the promise. But they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I hope you heard this promise that's in the text. It's right there. They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is the word of God for the people of God. Will you bow your heads with me in a word of prayer? Father, we're just so grateful that you've blessed us one more time to gather in this sacred space, that we're able to sing praises unto you and turn our attention to your word. Now we ask that you would incline our ears that we might be receptive for the truth of your word. Incline our hearts that it might be receptive for the seed of your word, that through it all that we might glorify you with our lives, loving you more and loving each other better. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, our world has conditioned us to somewhat be intolerant of waiting. Now, I know that that is not your issue, okay? I know most of you in here, you have no problems at all waiting. I know that you are the most patient people, not Klein, I mean Stephen, I'm sure, after all that you've taught them, they are the most patient people in all the world. No, I didn't lose my spot in the text. I know where we are. The challenge, and that was only, what, about 20 seconds at that? And all of a sudden, we're wondering, what's wrong? Did the mics fail? Did he lose his place in the text? It's quiet. It's like that sometimes in our relationship with God. Where there are times when God is demonstrative and we're able to see God at work, but then there are times in our lives, like the song that the praise team was just leading us through, where we don't know what God is doing. So what do we do? See, in this text, the people of God had really fallen out of faith with God. The people of God in the text had fallen into sin, and as a result of their sin, the judgment of God is upon them, and they're seeing Jerusalem is taken over. They're witnessing as they're going into Babylonian captivity, and now they're in a place in their spiritual journey where they're asking the question, where is God? God, where are you? Do you see where I am? Do you even know what's going on in my life? Be honest with me. Have you been there before? I got two people on this side who are honest. The rest of y'all, we're going to pray for y'all. Huh? But have you been there before where you're in the waiting room of God and you're trying to figure out, God, do you know where I am? Do you know what's going on in my life? The Lord has begun to teach us that it's in those seasons of waiting where he is trying to produce in us and through us lessons that we must learn about his character and his faithfulness. Because the truth is that God's timing is designed to teach us to trust more in him. God's timing is designed to teach us to trust in him even more. And this is the way we do it, because there will be seasons in our lives where all of us will have to wait. In fact, most things that are worth having, worth waiting for, all of us will have those seasons in our lives where we will find ourselves waiting on God to respond. What do we do in those moments that we're not defeated by doubt? What do we do in those moments where we're patiently trying to see what God's will is for our lives? What do we do? Look at the text. In verse 28, he renders a question that he expects believers to have the answer to. Right there, he says, have you not known? Have you not heard that the God that we serve is the everlasting God? Let me go and park there for a moment. He says, have you not heard? Have you been living long enough that you've heard someone tell you that God is good? Stephen, I need to tell them something. These are not rhetorical questions. I'm really asking. Have you? Have you ever heard anyone tell you God is good? Have you ever heard someone tell you trust in the Lord? Have you ever heard someone tell you I was sick and God healed me? Have you ever seen someone with a testimony that I was about to give up? I was on the edge and God reached down and he delivered me. Has God delivered anybody in this place? Has God blessed anybody in this place? Have you not heard? Have you not seen? So when you're in that place of waiting, begin to reflect on what God has already revealed to you, the truth of his character. Because the truth is this, that though you are waiting, and though it may seem like God is silent, it doesn't mean that he's absent. He is always at work, even while we are waiting. Look what he says. He says, the Lord is the everlasting God. Here's part of his character here. He is the everlasting God, which means then that our God has always been and he always will be. That's good news for us, because that tells us that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, which means if he did it before, he can do it again. If he delivered you before, then he can deliver you again. If he saved your life, then he can save your child's life. If he rescued you out of bondage, then he can rescue someone else you love out of bondage. He says he's the everlasting God. That shows us that he is always present. That even when you don't feel God, it doesn't mean his presence is not with you. I told Champions Campus, because when we were there, we got there, by God's blessed by 11 years ago, and then I had little children. In fact, somebody came and asked me earlier today, like, hey, how's your little children doing? I said, they're not so little anymore. They're not so little anymore. But when I came here, I was a father. Now, I'm a grandfather. I'm not a grandpa. I'm a grandfather. Got to put a little swag on that thing. And now I'm watching my son learn to be a father. And he was telling me as he was going in and out of the baby's nursery, he was going out, he said, Dad, every time I leave, she's crying. I said, well, son, babies don't cry for no reason. That's the only language they know. So they will cry when they need something. He said, but no, Dad, you don't understand. I can't even leave the room. Every time I leave the room, she's crying. It was a learning moment. It was a teachable moment for him. I brought back my developmental psychology days, and I said, son, you know, because the baby at this time haven't developed what is called object permanence. See, object permanence is when you understand that even though you don't see a thing, that thing you don't see doesn't cease to exist just because you don't see it. But babies don't have that yet, because they only exist in that moment where I got to see it to know that it is real. And you've heard that, haven't you, where it says seeing is believing? But you know, if you live long enough, you realize believing is really seeing, because sometimes God wants to grow us in our relationship, that we're not staying as babies in Christ, that every time we look up, we have to see demonstrative acts of God to know that God is real. No, God wants to grow you to a place where even if you don't feel him, you still trust him. Even if you don't see him, you still trust him. Even If you don't hear anything, you still trust him because God has a good track record with you. Does God have a good track record with anybody in this place? Well, you know that, you know, just because I don't feel him, I still have faith in him. In fact, that's what I want to tell you, that no matter how you're feeling, don't let your feelings influence your faith. Let your faith influence your feelings until your feelings start to back up your faith. Have you not known? Have you not heard that God is the everlasting God? He is the creator of the ends of the earth. I love this because not only is he present, but he's the creator of the ends of the earth, which means in everything in between the ends of the earth, not only is he present in, but he's sovereign over it. Because if he created it, then he is in control of it. How do I handle it when I'm waiting on God? One, I have to trust God's sovereignty to know that God is always in control. God is not surprised when we are surprised. God is not taken off guard when we are taken off guard, which means he knows what's happening in your life right now. And if he has permitted it to occur in your life, the question for you to answer is, will I trust him while I'm going through what I am going through? Yeah, we have to learn how to wait, because waiting is trusting. Waiting on God is trusting him, acknowledging that he has it in control. In fact, I love what C.S. Lewis says in his writings. He says that those who have God and have everything are no less more than those who have God only. Because when you have God, you have everything. Oh, okay, let me tell you like this. I'm in a season in my life, and I haven't gone, Lewis, to counseling just yet about this season. But I may come to see you. Where's Lewis? Did he skip out in church? And so I'm in this season, right? Because I told you when we got here to the area, our kids were kids. They were babies, and now they're all adults. I mean, they're at that place now where my daughter, when she was about to graduate, she gave me a call. She's my favorite daughter, by the way, just in case you don't know that. She's my favorite daughter of all the children, three boys and a girl. calls me up, and she's like, "Dad." I said, "What's going on, baby? What's going on?" She said, "Dad, you know, I'm about to graduate." I said, I know. She said, so it's time for me to learn how to drive. I said, "Oh, no." Because you know what that means, right? That means insurance rates gets higher. And so here I am once again. It's the fourth time. I'm getting much better at this, right? I'm teaching her how to drive, and she's in the driver's seat, and I'm in the passenger seat. And you have to understand, this is my prayer request to you, okay? I'm in the passenger seat. She's in the driver's seat. My vehicle is not equipped with a brake pedal on the passenger side. And so here we're driving, and she doesn't see it, but you know how you bunch your toes up in your shoes when you, and I don't want to make her nervous, you know. And so she's navigating the roadway, and she's doing pretty well. And I said, "Okay, dear heart, I need you to pull over. I want you to pull over. I want you to pull over because it is my conviction that you need to know where you're going and where you are at all times. There are times that, you know, electronics may fail. You may be at a time where GPS says you've arrived and you didn't arrive where you thought you would have arrived. So I want you to know exactly where you are." She pulls on the side of the road. Francis, she's an obedient daughter, you know. I'm her favorite dad. And so she pulls on the side of the road, right? And I'm like, "Okay, baby, where are you?" She looks around. She said, "I don't know." I said, "Sweetheart, look around. You know, there's signs. Just look around and tell me where you are. Okay, what direction are you traveling in?" She said, "I don't know. There's a compass right there in the car." I'm like, "What?" She, "I don't know." I said, "Well, baby, what street are you on?" She said, "Daddy, I don't know." I said, "But you got to know." She said, "No, I don't, because you know." Just trying to help y'all understand something here, that when you're a child of God, you may not know everything God is doing or where you're going, but rest assured, God knows exactly where you are, and he knows where he wants to take you. Right. Why? Because he wants you to reveal some things to you, that to the degree that when you're in that waiting room, you can learn to rest in his presence, that you know with assurance that God is true to his word. And when you rest in his presence, it allows you an opportunity to focus on his promises. This is what he's telling, and here's the promise, verse 29. He gives power to the faint. And to him who have no might, he increases strength. I love this text because notice how the text doesn't require us to always maintain strength. God knows that there will be times in your life where you will become weary. There will be times in your life where you will grow faint. There will be times in your life where you will feel like giving up. There will be times in your life that you will feel weary. There are some times that when you hear certain people's voices, you get weary just listening to them. I hope that's not right now. But there are some times in your life where you're at a place where you're at your last moment, your last straw, the thread is about to pop. You're right there. So what do you do? Look at what the text says. God knows you will get tired. He knows that there will be times in our lives that are beyond our capacity and beyond our strength to be able to endure alone. But God in his grace. Paul, he says, you don't have to do it all by yourself. God, in his grace, he says, I will be there with you. Why? Because here's the promise. I give power to the faint. And to those who have no might, I increase their strength. I love this because the reason why God can give power to the faint is because he never gets faint. The reason why God can give power to the weary is because he never grows weary. I want you to get this. If God never grows weary, then that means he never grows weary of you. He wants you to know him even more. He wants you to trust him even more and trust his love for you, his power to protect you, his power to provide for you, and his presence to always be with you. Because in verse 30, it says, even youth shall faint. And be weary. The strong, the vibrant, the little kids who look like they have all kind of energy. Guess what? At some point, they're going to hit a wall and fall asleep. Some of y'all are praying that right now. He said the youth will grow faint. And young men, strong, strapping soldiers, he said, they will fall exhausted. Because the reality is we will get tired. But in those moments, trust God's plan, because waiting for God is never wasting. That when you trust God, you can understand that God's timing is designed to teach you. You can trust him because even though you grow faint, he doesn't grow faint. You can trust him because even though he's silent, doesn't mean he's absent. You can trust him because of what he's already proven true in your life, that he will do what he said he's going to do. So if you're like David, who's in Psalm 23, who says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, look what he says, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. There are so many indications in your life that God has been with you. There's so many indications of your life where you look around and you see, we just celebrated my son's his marriage ceremony this past week. I told you, I'm going through some things, y'all, marriage ceremony. And with that comes all the little people who visit your house, all my cousins and young people and all that. Well, you know what you do, right? Before people come to your house, you clean your house up so they can dirty it. You know that's what you do, right? All right. I polished the stainless steel. Andy, I had it all right. The stainless steel was all polished. Everything was good. When I came back home, all of a sudden, I saw seeing little fingerprints just all over. And I knew exactly who was responsible because I was able to see the height of the fingerprint. Then the Holy Spirit reminded me that if you look closely at your life, you'll see God's fingerprints all over your life. When you weren't looking for God, God was still looking out for you. That's God's fingerprints on your life. When you were about to give up and God didn't give up on you, that's God's fingerprints on your life. And so when you're waiting on God, look over his resume and realize that he is still true to everything he says he's going to do. He says, you will grow weary. He says, verse 31, But they that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. Don't miss it, because this is written to an exclusive group of people. This is not applicable for everyone in every situation. This is applicable to those who are the people of God, who trust God enough to wait on him. In the context, they're waiting on the Lord. They're looking forward to the redemption of Christ. They're looking forward to, just as we are looking forward to the Lord's return. We know he's going to return. Look what he says. But they who wait, they who place their trust, their confidence, their full dependency upon God, he shall renew their strength. Somebody in here? You came in here saying, I need my strength renewed. In fact, that's exactly where I am right now. I need my strength to be renewed because I'm about to be depleted. Christ says, the word of God says that God works for those who wait, those who trust in him. He's working on your behalf. That while we're waiting, God is still working. And notice in his working, he never gets tired of working on behalf of you and I. So what are we to do? Trust him as he works. Trust him. Trust that as God is working, there's greater for us to experience in him. That is not predicated on the circumstances that we're going through. That God has much more in store for you. I hear you. Because perhaps you're like Philip Brooks. Philip Brooks, he said it this way. He said, the trouble is that I'm in a hurry, but God is not. But here's the truth. God doesn't have to be in a hurry because God is never late. Now, I know you may feel like God is not on your time, and you're right, God doesn't operate on your time, because if he operated on our time, that'd make us God. No, God doesn't have to operate on our time. God is the kind of God that, since he made time, time doesn't affect him. Okay, you're not looking at me. You're looking at me like you don't understand this thing. I brought some witnesses, because Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would tell you that I was waiting on God when I was before the king. I was waiting on God when I didn't bow down to the idol. They said, we were waiting on God, but the king still tied us up. The king still marched us to the furnace. We were waiting on God. Where was God when the king said, throw him in the furnace? Where was God when the king said, heat it up 7 times hotter? Where was God when the soldiers throwing them in were perishing by the furnace flames? And yet when they threw the boys in, they realized that God was right there with them in the midst of the flame. Sometimes God keeps you in the waiting room so you can see the extent that God will go through to make sure that you are intimately connected with him. He may not, grandma said it this way, I'm getting too excited, too much coffee this morning. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Yes, he is. He's always on time. And look what it says. It says, because when we wait on him, he's going to do some things. It says, those that wait on him, they shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. Which means, here it is, he's telling you, if you're in the waiting room, you can wait with expectation that God is still working some things out on your behalf, and he's going to bring you to a greater level than you've ever been before when you trust in him. All right, my counseling session is almost over. Thank you so much for being a good listener. I really, really appreciate that. Jimmy and I were just talking about the graduation. He and I attended the same graduation a couple of weeks back because my favorite daughter again. You remember my favorite daughter? Yeah, yeah. She was graduating, and so we're in NRG. In NRG, and we're sitting there, all families gathered along with other families, and we're celebrating all the graduates. But if I'm honest with you, I was really only waiting for one graduate. Okay, and so I'm waiting on her name to be called. That's what I'm waiting for. But Paul, if you were there, Jimmy, I know you were there because I saw you. And so it started storming outside. It's storming outside. We're in the NRG. You could hear the rain descending on the building. You could hear it so much that it's louder than the speakers who are speaking at the podium. It is storming outside. But all of a sudden, the storm on the outside came on the inside. And it started raining on the inside of the building. The storm was outside, but it started storming on the inside. It was storming on the graduates. It rained falling on the attendants. But guess what? We didn't move. Paul, we sat there. We sat there, though the rain was falling on us. We sat in the NRG. We still had our cameras ready because we knew that even though we were feeling effects of a storm, something greater was about to happen. I'm trying to help you understand something. I don't know where you are in life right now, but that's what I know. If you are finding yourself in a storm, when you wait on God, something greater is going to happen. You just have to place your trust and your faith in him. Because this whole thing has to do with levels of intimacy with God. Look what he says. He says, you'll mount up on wings as eagles. This is a reminder or reminiscent of what God did in Exodus. For in Exodus 19 and 4, look at what God says. You yourself have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you up on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. God says, when you wait on him, you're going to get into closer proximity of his heart that you can hear his heartbeat no matter what you're going through. He just says, trust him enough to wait on him. He says, you'll mount on wings as eagles. But then he says, and you'll run and not grow weary. And how do I not grow weary as I'm following God? How do I not grow weary and not give up on a marriage or give up on a relationship or give up on a goal or give up on a pursuit? How do I not grow weary? You stay close to the one who never grows weary. Stay in his word. Continue in prayer, trusting that God is going to grow you as he grows your relationship with him. So he said, you'll run and not grow weary. But then he says, you'll walk and not faint. It's intimate now. You're walking with God, hand in hand. No matter what's coming, no matter what's happening, no matter what the uncertainty may be, you're trusting God enough to walk with him. This is why the scriptures are replete with reminders of us to wait on God. Lamentations 3:25 says, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Psalm 40:1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear to me, and he heard my cry. I love this text because it means that the God of the universe, the creator of everything, that when you trust him enough to have faith in him, when you're waiting on him, trusting that he's going to do exceedingly, abundantly, beyond what you ever ask or think, that he leans in and inclines to you. It means when you trust him, you're able to see that God is willing to care for you. That's why Peter reminds us to cast all our cares upon him, because he cares for you. The promise is that God will deliver those who wait on him. So wait on him. Wait on him no matter what you're going through. Don't give up on God. God has not given up on you. In fact, the reason why you ought to wait on him, because God has been waiting for you. He's been waiting for you to trust him more. He's been waiting for you to believe in him with all your heart. He's been waiting on you to say yes to his will for your life. He's been waiting on you. And even now, he says, behold, I stand at the door of your heart knocking. Because he has sovereignly navigated your steps to this sacred space on this Sunday to let you know that he is here for you. The question is, are you going to trust him? Would you bow your heads with me all over the building? Father, thank you so much for your faithfulness. There's nothing you've promised that you would do that you haven't done or will do on our behalf. Thank you so much for the way you love us, that all your words are true, and we can take confidence that you're the God who never breaks his promises. You're the God who's always present. Help us to not mistake your silence for your absence and trust you to work out all things for the good of those who love you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thanks so much for watching. We pray you've been encouraged and challenged. At Champion Force, we focus on advancing the kingdom of God by making disciples, loving our community, and strengthening the church. We are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God and growing in their relationship with him. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforce.org/connect. Of course, we can't wait to welcome you in person at one of our 3 locations in the near future. For campus-specific times and details, just visit our website at championforce.org. We'll see you very soon.